Ja.
That's right, yeah.
Everything to do with that day and think about oftentimes a little
yes.
Wouldn't mind leaving out today.
Amen.
I'm like Paul, he was 22 verses. You if I stay and verse me if I go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit of a crime.
Yeah.
Again.
Amen.
I look forward to the game.
Amen.
R.G. Lee, he wrote a book years ago in Montgomery Light, which is a book that said, Payday Someday.
Yeah.
Well, Bass Tony's in the hospital. Yeah. I heard his brother made that on the radio. One time he found out he was visiting in the hospital. He told the story. He said, talking about that Payday Someday book that R.G. Lee had written for R.G. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so I'm going to give you a book here, and the main book is the new book that had out of there in the hospital. I think maybe it was about to pass on then, and it said, Great Day to Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Great Day to Everybody.
Yeah.
And folks with the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that you can report about what something the Lord did for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
100 years ago, or last year. Or I really love to hear something.
Yeah.
Well, God will do something.
Amen.
God will do something for you every day. He's not random
that way. Amen.
He's just not random. We need to have to go out sometimes and ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And ask him. And the dear brother, my son, he has to go to that lesson in question.
Yes.
That reminds us always to read the directions completely.
Amen.
I remember taking a test and having it at school, and the teacher had us stop page 3 and read all the questions before starting the test.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that read all the questions before starting the test, mm-hmm. down at the very bottom, said, please sign your papers off the can't read the questions and turn them in.
Yeah.
And we saw some people turn in the papers. got a little bit of a back away. We got in on Wednesday afternoon, about a 30-hour trip, and went straight to the hospital. I saw some special family here for about 4 or 5 hours, drink water after coffee. Be there with him. My daddy was so important than anyone in my life. I was always pointing to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to him, and I hope his son stayed there and stayed straight with him that night. Hope you got somebody in the hospital. I always got to see somebody with him. I'm going to tell you, it's not safe. He's there that night, that's where he was. Dad started talking about 2 o'clock at the hour. Later, I don't know. The shape that I'm going to tell you something, son, said, tell everybody in the family. He said, when I'm gone, he said, tell them not to be afraid of each other. Tell them to get along with one another. Love on each other and pray with the Lord. He said, bye, Chris. Yeah, he closed his eyes, went to sleep, and I woke up again. He called me up once, said, what did he do? He was down there, took the food, and prayed right afternoon, about 2 o'clock, and had a word. Season, to do what the Lord wants to do in your life, sometimes we need to go to your life.
Yeah.
But the Bible says those who don't do what God wants to do, those that are all, those that are out of the room, the Bible says they're on a slippery path. They'll fall without moving. The reason they get on that is straight, they get in that place of those that never ask God to save them. The reason they get in that place is because of unbelief. Jesus marveled 2 times in the Word of God. He marveled 1 time at the feast of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
The soldier told him that I've got men under me, and I tell them what to do, to come, to do this, to do that, and they do it. He said, just say the word, and we'll build up. He said, I'm not feeling so great a faith as this. Oh, build it. And then we're in his own feet. Marvel at. That's good for it. But the other time that Jesus marveled, the only 2 times, he marveled that amongst his own people, where he said that apostles went out on him. He marveled at their unbelief, their lack of marvel. Folks, this is great importance this morning that our faith stays strong and diligently. We will follow after the Lord and not let there be any type of being sporadic in our belief. We should not be sporadic in looking at God's word. We should take it from the front to the back and believe it for what it says and have God reveal and teach us what it says. Now, say this thing this morning, we'll come around the point. A man and woman named Zacharias and Elizabeth here in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, who God gave a great statement about. And in verse 6, let's start reading here in verse 5. Says, in chapter 1, look in verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So that's where I want to be at in verse 6. I want to have that listed as my testimony, and I want you to have that listed as your testimony, that you are both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments, not just some of them, the ones you chose, but all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well speaking in years. They said, King James way of saying they were not old. They were old folks. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his court, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, some writers, some commentators say that this was the only time. This was
a one time in the lifetime of a priest, you know anything about that? It's a burning incense, you know that? And that this point in time in Zachariah's life, he was doing something that was very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed in your life, right? I noticed in mine that I have to be real careful. Real careful, because one of the most dangerous things a Christian or a child of God can have in their life is pride. One of the most dangerous things, because the Bible says, pride cometh before what, church? I can't hear you. A fall. The Bible says, pride cometh before fall. And that around the church, I can hear that. Everybody, the multitude of outside, and they must see him up there, he was there, he was in there, getting ready to burn in. His son was very important, and at least in this time in his life, and he was thinking about, you know, I'm doing this, this is my special time, this is my day, and all those things like that we would think over the human side of life. That's the human nature in our life. That's what Paul referred to as the old man, the old person.
Yeah.
And over here, the new man, he shouldn't be claiming that way. He said, it's not my time, it's not, it's the Lord's day, it's the Lord's time, it's his time, it's the Lord's time, the Lord. Zacharias was a man that God tells highly, that he looked at and he carried him, and it was listed here in verse 6 about him, but not only him, but also his wife. That's a whole lot. Not only him, but his wife, and they were without children. Verse 9 says, according to the custom of the priest office, it was his law. Verse 10, the whole multitude of people were afraid without the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. So he had respect for this person that was standing in front of this angel. Evidently, we're looking at it, we look over the next few verses there, that he didn't believe what this guy was saying, what this angel was saying. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thank God. You don't remember when you pray the prayer and ask the prayer, and then when God answers that prayer, do you always remember to say thank you? Huh? You always remember to say thank you. What I've learned through the years when someone's in the altar and they're getting saved, and God saved them, and as soon as they're saved and they turn very sincerely and the Holy Ghost filled in my heart that they were saved, I say, you know you're saved, the whole scripture says, I know God saved you. And I say, here's what we're going to do now. I said, we're going to let you stay here for a little while and just thank the Lord for saving you. Just thank the Lord. I don't know about you. But I've watched from down through the years, and it's blessed me, and it's brought more conviction on the church when that person stays there and continues to pray and thank the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is pleased. And to carry those blessings, and another blessings are coming in. And I saw a man saying, there's a deal, he's down on the floor. The service before, he asked his son, he said, son, have you never been to church for a couple of times in his life? He said, son, do you think that God's going to deal with me and give me my moment of salvation? And he said, yes, Daddy. God's got your moment of salvation. That's why he asked that moment. He said that one moment. He said, God's got your moment of salvation. But that gentleman came forward to be saved. That man fell down in the floor in front of the pulpit there. And I started asking the Lord to save him. I knelt down beside him and asked Fernando. I said, Fernando, I said, you know, the Lord saved you. He said, great God, I know it's saved. I said, well, just sit down here and start thinking. 30 minutes later, he was still down there thanking him and thanking him. And while in the process that he was doing that, thanking him, seven other people were saved that night. I thought everyone had the same thing. And people were standing around there that evening. And the ones that didn't kneel down and pray or get saved that night were weeping uncontrollably. You know why? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the building, stirring in people's hearts and blessing them. Why God wants us and desires us to be thankful for our heard prayer.
Amen.
That's the first prayer we can pray. It's the prayer of a sinner, is it not? Thank you. prayer was had. Prayer was here. I preached it. I forgot it all over Christmas prayer. Something running up to the Christmas door. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about God's children are held to a higher standard.
Amen.
Higher standard. Now, I've seen dads that, you know, tried to get their sons to drink. I've seen and heard dads that seen on old movies and things that where a dad was just going out and got to help him lead up with a woman that was no good and vice versa. That standard is not the kind of standard I raised my children on. I held my children to a higher standard. I held them as high as I could for being legalistic. So if I was just a man of them all, what? Children? I didn't want any of that in the past. I say it's a balance. God's got to find balance. You got to understand. And ask God to help you know how to do it. You can have great children there like a father said to raise a little one. You have to go through the technology and the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding I need to be able to raise this child up in the admonition of the Lord that they'll know Jesus is right and real. Amen. And God will hear your prayer every time you speak. That you're telling that child, you're helping that child in some way that you didn't even know how to do. And you realize that it's God giving you what you need to raise that child. Make sure to wait for you tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping the child of God in your area. How am I sure how to give this child? And helping me know how to correct them in the right way. Amen, sir. Folks, there's anything we're missing in this study. It's just going to play out all that long ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's called, hey, son, if you go out there and suck me a history.
Yeah.
My dad's brother, he's in the hospital right now. I asked him yesterday, I said, his name's Dennis here. We're calling Timmy. I said, Timmy, I said, you're going to stay now when you come home. I said, I'm going to have to cut a history. He said, you have one of those at your house. He's talking about a history book. That my grandma, his mom, used to use, and he had to go out there and one of the grandchildren, because he was about 6 or 7 years older than he was, and he'd have to cut one off and bring it back in that garage. And I got one out here, let's just one cry. And God has given us that higher strength. And it's called chastisement or discipline. Or let's say this way, a spiritual whooping in your week. You know, a lot of people used to get whipped and always get whooped. It was very real quick. Let me know I'm wrong. God won't take away. Just correct me real fast. Let me know that I'm not right. Amen. Without fear to have not, the fault to have not. That's a real good place to apply that verse in your life. It says verse 17. And James said in John the Baptist, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the judge to make ready a people prepared for the Lord in Zechariah. He just gave him a detailed answer to his prayer about John the Baptist his whole entire life. He didn't have that to be handed or any of that stuff. But he told him how he was going to be a priest. And one part I liked about it best, that when he said that John the Baptist was supposed to hold the Holy Ghost and his mother's womb. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to the womb, he leaped in his mother's womb because he's already full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can you imagine having somebody around the house all the time from the time of the born full of the Holy Ghost? I've heard some of them say, I think they're going to pull the bell.
Yeah.
Huh? I had one of my cousins ask me not too long ago. He said, what do you think of that? So I know why I was mad going up. He said, he's here all the time. You know, what you do? What had you have? He told me he's going to give him a hug and he said, I'm going to hold you back. What's that little fellow saying? Hey, where'd you fill out that kind of stuff? Better watch what he's watching on the tablet, on the phone, on the TV. Better watch what he's leading with and lead him around. Amen. And you better stay stern with him. You better stay steady. You better be consistent in what you do. And as soon as he does something wrong, if you don't go to town one again, you better get him on two. Amen. You better get used to get being got on two when you play one. You better be excited in your Amen. I think all the ladies live across the road from us, that mom would always count the kids. And I watched her as she got older. She stood out there in the middle of the road from her house where they all said, come home. And she said, I'm going to count the kids. When she got to seven, the girl went in and finished up 8, 9, 10 and said, now what you going to do for the little girl? See, that's what goes. So if you don't want that child that you're raising and not pleasant you live to be an embarrassment and a shame to you and your family, answer the wrong thing. You better than the way I said it to you. Spare not the law that you don't think that you sound on the law of man. Yeah. I said, spare not the law that you don't call them. You know what I said? That's a rock thing. I always thought about that like a rock thing. You ever seen one of those? I don't want it around my house. I don't want it in a potato, and I don't want it in a child. I don't want it in a grandchild.
I don't have as much control over that grandchild thing I know.
But I want to. I don't want to straighten out that. I got to want to. They leave me with me. I have to control myself. But they know they better listen. Because I give them that look. And they just don't know what's going to happen. Because I don't say a whole lot. And it's better than them to do, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know? And so I found out if I do say anything, they tell them. But I didn't. Praise God, the Spirit, you know, help them understand that a steward's right is the right thing, and God answers half all of them, I'm all pressed, don't you? I'm glad God answers. I'm all worried about it, grandparents. Praise God. Worrying does nothing. No, he said, those nights of sleep, oh, you need to be stressed out. Can't even do it sick physically. But if you'll pray for them, prayer, what's the old song of prayer? Changes things, don't you? Prayer changes things.
Yeah.
So we got to this point here, Zechariah, he in verse 60, he said, hey, we're both righteous before God, walking in all the manner and ordinance of the Lord. Blameless. Mm-hmm. Verse 18 says, and Zechariah answered the angel and said, unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. You know what he was saying? He said, dear angel, he said, I just don't believe what you're saying. That's what he said. He said, I just don't believe what you're saying. I'll tell you, I found out that God doesn't mind if we say, God, can you tell me that one more time? Can you clarify the big part? Can you hear me understand this part of your God? But when God deals with your heart about something, it's like when God says, when you have your heart to come forward or kneel down for salvation, that he was drawing your heart. He hasn't changed since then. As it says over in the book of John, that he calls his own by name, and he shall know his voice. Amen. And but his voice, I haven't forgotten his voice since that night in that revival meeting. I haven't forgotten his voice that God was in my heart. I haven't forgotten his voice when I was 14 years old. Just about 3 or 4 pieces in the front of another revival meeting. He gave me gloves and a shirt and just got it settled down my heart that I knew that I was saved. He said, why do you have my that sort of boring preacher? It's so important that you go for this line in tongues, knowing when God is speaking to you. God does not have any problem communicating with us. The problem is always on our end. So if we'll ask God, God, help me be sensitive to your will. that God is going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know what He's telling me in a way that I might understand and I might do what He has to do, God, that I might be found pleasing in that realm. Folks, it's so important that we don't get the word back around. We've not brought out verse 6 so many times to let you know this is a good man here. This is a man that's right with the Lord. But here we are just because of this high day or some special time. He's in a place that he's missing it right now. He's not thinking it is a bad day, but he's thinking it is a day. He's coming out messed up and it's a talking right here. What does it angel say in verse 20 says and hold thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not thy word, which shall be fulfilled in their teeth. So we know this story, those of you read the Bible, you know this story, you know that for about 9 or 10 months here, from the time she conceived to the time John the Baptist was born, Zechariah didn't lay anything. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, preacher, what's the highest standard? The highest standard of this is that we've got to believe God all the power, not some of the power, most of the power, all day, every moment, everything, with anything, wherever, whatever he says to do, he comes around. What it is, I said, glory to God, you got to believe him with everything in your life, to give it up, let God have it, no matter what it is. My preacher, you just don't know about this. You just don't know what these people done to you. Or you don't know how stuff it is. Or you don't know this load of paperwork it is. It just don't matter what it is. If you'll give it to God, God said, go on and do this, you better do that first. You better move that first. Why? Because mine are dependent upon it. Your mind is dependent upon it. Your children, your grandchildren, your neighborhood, your pastor, your preacher, your friend, right down the road, your co-worker, it's dependent upon you believing God by the fault. When you don't do what God says to do, you don't need to understand which God has given us for his dear children, that he's given us the power and the ability to be able to do. We find ourselves in a place of losing our privilege.
Amen.
Not just our privilege of being able to speak as a child of God. Everybody can speak for the most part in our sinner's side, but only those that are saved can speak on behalf of God Almighty. And so therefore it aligns it up with the definition of a privilege. Something that's rare. I'm sure few there are that come there in that straight and that narrow way. Romans, Romans, and Reconstruction, that mean there are that go there at. Right? So that's the crowd over here, the privileged one. The one that are his dear children. The one that loves him. The one that, you know, it's about when I use that phrase when he's talking about something special. He said he gave this to those that love him. Or to them that love him. Folks, I don't know who deceived you, tricked you, or I don't have reason you haven't read the Bible. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. That he's given us the divine nature. Okay. He's given us all things that pertain to the life of God. And we're supposed to grow as his children, that we'll not be barren and unfruitful, but that we'll be able to see. But it says, if you don't do those things, that you'll become blind. Won't be able to see far off, and never see you do. Not be blind to them, see if I'm wrong, and he shall never fall. Isn't that what it says? So we've got some special privileges. Folks, we can speak on God's behalf. We can testify on God's behalf. We can heal on God's behalf. We can come to be faithful in the house of God on God's behalf. We can be a part of the church, the body of Christ, where it's many members, but only one body. Amen. We can function and do. It's always sad to hear Dr. Say, well, that kidney on that left side is dried up. Our liver is not functioning properly. Or their left lung has collapsed completely and it doesn't appear it can be restored. That's always sad to my heart to hear that about my own physical body, but even more sad when I see those types of things happening within our church. Happening within the church, the body, the Lord Christ, and whom He is the head that we see. Those things happen to someone drying up or someone collapsing. But the Bible puts it this way that they find it. They're still alive, but they're not able to function. They're not able to accomplish anything. But they're gone. The book for him to hire them. Here we have that line. He's lost the privilege of speaking on God's behalf for the next 9 or 10 months. But when he finally does get the call, you don't remember what he did. What did he do? First thing, when he got to communicate, they said, well, there's somebody else in the family named God. Then why would he name God? And this was trying to tell him what Zacharias had wrote down for her and explained that her name's supposed to be John. You know what? I bet you John, Zacharias did a lot of writing tonight when it's on God. He wants to talk to his wife and he was going to
God was holding one of his dear children to a high standard because he knew that movement.
both of them do better.
Mm-hmm. If I got a 1-year-old so different out on the floor with a 7 on the floor, I know it's going to bother me years later because it's a 10-year-old. Moses got here on time. You folks in here have heard so much preaching down through the years. Mm-hmm. I've been around for about 30 years now. And I've heard all kinds of wonderful preaching in this building. All kinds. All kinds of abandonment down through the years. I've heard.
I know you've been blessed with preaching. I know the preacher that you've had through this time. I know who you've had. And you did what?
You're held to a higher standard. You're thank God. You're held to a higher standard. But what happened? Moses had Zechariah lost his faith.
Y'all know what God said about Moses? There ain't never been a man that served God faith to faith like Moses. He said he sat down and talked to Moses like a friend. And I would say, face to face. That's how Moses is situated. Moses is like Zechariah to the living. They held high up by God. Now here we got Moses being held to a higher standard. Matthew's son is Moses. Now, so you're not going to get to go over into the promised land. They didn't go to church. They lost. Promises.
They lost promises.
They lost the promises that were given to God's children 40 years plus prior. That Joseph thought when you go up out of Egypt, God's going to bring them out of here, take my bones with you. They lost the promises that had been given years and years before about a land that flowed. They were promised a land rose that flowed with white milk and honey. They were promised a land that flowed with milk and honey, and there was Moses that served God face to face. He lost that promise. You know, we hear this from them back around today, or Moses, no. God put our record in here that we can learn that how easily we can know it's all said, out of this side of the divine nature, start acting in the human nature. Because it must be, I say it must be, in the absolute necessity that your actions, your reactions, your attitudes, the atmosphere of your life constantly, continually come out of your divine nature. Amen. First of all, people's lives are dependent on I want those people, I walk in the hospital here and in Brazil, and I see them in those dire situations. They need to see somebody, and they need to see another person that can live up with the life of God in their life. That some might go to sea, some might water, and God can do his promises to increase. Amen. And they need to know that Jesus is really, really, really real. And we need the whole church. We need everybody, every member, every part, that we might hold your love and the hand, they might know that God feels we're able to stand up to that one that would support the body of Christ, that one that would hold the head of Christ, that one that would represent that cross of Christ, that we would deny ourselves to the human race. Amen. Take our cross and follow Jesus. Our Lord. He told us that's what we needed to do if we were going to be in the silence.
That's right.
What he asked us this morning, church members, are you a child of God that's a disciple? Or are you just a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you one that's denied yourself and took up your cross and followed Jesus with all of your strength, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, everything in you? Or is that kind of everything going towards your work, towards your bank account, towards your money, towards the house, towards your car, towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your kids? When did you just do what the Bible said to do? Seek him first, to see him first, to see him with love, and all those right here, that, all those other things.
Huh?
You do all that.
Thank you. All that.
When I was born over the first and second year, then fifth year now, they're getting ready to get old drive, and I'm sitting in the front of the community, and I'm in the
Yeah.
That's where we're at. The real special one is here. You won't like it. You can see how it is. I already got it.
Salvation, find your way to the Lord. If you just want to get closer to Him,